This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Secure Give, the leading provider of safe and simple giving software for churches and charities that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, folks, welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are taking your calls today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, that those who have been entrusted to be managers must prove faithful. That's what this show's about. Show's about, what does that look like? What does faithful look like biblically? Of course, we are managers. We're managing this thing called life. But how in the world do we do that faithfully? So that's what we're talking about here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and the call-in number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. Of course, that's a free call, and you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Before we get started, I've got to send out a major shout-out to Tucson, Arizona, and Los Angeles. Last week, we had an incredible time in Tucson for our Smart Money event. You guys were unbelievable. Excited about what God's going to do in your life from here on out as you kind of put this stuff into action. And I can't say enough about the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, over 5,000 of you. And man, did we have some fun. Who would have known that this stewarding our life, marriage and finance and parenting and personal development and leadership, and even Michael Jr. cutting up some jokes, that it could be so much fun. But thank you so much. It was incredible. Well, I've got some awesome news for you. Did you know that we're giving away $5,000 each week this month? I know we're all saving for something, so if you're looking to add extra flow to the goal, head over to stewardship.com today and click on that $20,000 rainy day giveaway to enter for a chance to win. Well, it looks like the calls are stacking up. If you missed out on Mother's Day week, head over to stewardship.com. Last week, we had several amazing guests here on the show, so I don't want you to miss out on that. You just go over to stewardship.com, or you can go to iTunes. We had Kimberly Williams Paisley on here from Father of the Bride. She was awesome. Lisa Harper was here, Mary Beth Chapman, Patsy Claremont, all guests last week. And I'm telling you, even as a husband, I've got so much out of what they had to say. So it was incredible. A tribute to moms, but for everybody, a ton to learn from. And I don't want you to miss those episodes if you didn't catch it here on the radio. Well, again, the number's 866-357-3283. And our first call is going to be from Southport, North Carolina. This is Austin. Austin, how are you?
Good. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. How can I serve you?
Good. So my wife is a full-time PA. I also work full-time. We have a 14-month-old at home. She's been steady praying for something to, maybe not be full-time, but still make her wages and salary. And she was contacted by an old school colleague in regards to becoming a business partner in Amway. From the sales pitch, I gathered that you sell products to people and also attempt to kind of make them business owners as well. You make a percentage off of the product, and you make a percentage off of what the people underneath you sell. Mm-hmm. I was skeptical of the program. There's a $200 buy-in, and just like any business, there's costs along the way. They proclaim that you can make $40,000 to $60,000 by recruiting 25 to 30 people and selling so much product.
just wondering what you thought about it in general.
Well, I don't have anything, you know, anything against Amway, or I don't really have anything really against multi-level marketing. That's really what this is in general. Just generally speaking, I don't have anything negative to say. I think, you know, their claims are probably accurate. It just really just means how hard is it? Is it even practical that you'd be able to do that? You know, the recruiting, you know, whatever, 25, 30 people, is that really line up with, you know, what you guys want to do? So here's what I would ask. I would filter this decision through three questions that come to mind. The first one would be, do you think this will help you get to your goals and your vision, your short-term and long-term? Do you think it will help you in this? Let's just say that you're moderately successful. Does it help?
Yeah, I mean, with me and my wife, we're both in baby step two, trying to knock out some debt. So,
well, the other questions that come to mind, Austin, are does it excite you? I, for coming from your verbiage and your tone, I know it doesn't excite you. But if does it excite her, I think you'd ask that question. If it really gets her excited, then I would investigate it. But the third question is probably the biggest filter that comes to my mind as somebody who's been involved in these kind of things before. I've been there, done that. I've bought the t-shirt. The question is, do you like it when your friends approach you about these things? Whenever someone asks you, hey, do you want to get involved in my whatever it may be, what comes through your mind? I mean, because that's exactly what your wife is going to be doing to all your friends. So do you like that? Or, I mean, you got to ask yourself, are you willing to spend that kind of relational equity? Because your first clientele, you better believe it, it's going to be all friends and family. And you got to ask yourself, do I want to feel like I'm hounding the people that are closest to me?
Do I really want to be hounding all of my friends to buy products, and especially products that they're really not used to? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's the deal. I don't think there's anything wrong with the business model. I really don't. I actually like it because you can earn as much as you want. It depends on how hard you work. She's got to ask herself, am I naturally wired to be a salesperson selling people things that they don't already think that they need? It's one thing to sell something that people need, and then you're just trying to beat the competition. But she's going to be trying to sell a lot of things that people don't necessarily need. So, and there's going to be some necessities in there too, but she's just got to ask herself, does she think deep down, could I be successful at this? And I think, you know, if you just got to monitor how much you buy in. But my guess is with a 14-month, a 14-month-old, I don't know. I think there might be a better route. But I think the biggest thing is she's got to ask herself, could I be happy doing this? That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And if it's not going to change your world a whole lot, then I would be really careful spending enough, you know, pick your battles as a husband and let her try it for a small amount. But if it keeps you from paying off your debts and it slows down your pursuit, then you definitely... I would not, you know, be investing any more than a couple $100s
right
to start off. And then you start off slow, you know, and then if she sells a bunch of things real quick, then you reinvestigate and kind of relook at it again.
Okay, great.
All right. Just the biggest thing is stay low risk and kind of just maybe she has a couple conversations and tries to sell it before she even can even earn anything from it. She starts selling some things to some friends. She's not even in the program yet, but all she's doing is testing the waters to see if she likes it. That's actually where you need to go. I would do it before you drop a dime.
We know that church leaders have big vision to impact lives, but usually don't have enough resources to make it happen. So if you can make it easier to create a culture of generosity in your church, wouldn't you do it? Secure Give is a leading provider of safe and simple giving software that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It also has direct integration with the most popular church management systems, allowing automatic reconciliation. Nearly one-third of the top 100 churches in the U.S. use Secure Give. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com.
Folks, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Just a reminder, you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com, or you can call at 866-357-3283. All right, I got an email here from Lisa. Says, "Hey, Chris and stewardship team, so encouraged to follow your show. I love your pastoral approach as you infuse scripture into the guidance that you provide. It's also really cool that you are on the same journey as you save to pay cash for your family home." Well, thanks for lumping on the pressure there. Yes, I'm still on that journey for sure. We're hoping May of 17 will be the magic date. And she says, recently I made a big decision as a newly minted single, an empty nester, to rent a home in a house for cheap rent in order to tackle my debt snowball once and for all. Then I realized that I had an IRS installment payment plan from 2013, which had been tacking on upwards of $50 a month for penalty fees. I don't know why or how I never realized it, but I know none of my credit cards have interest rates like that. Well, you are right. Should I put everything into getting rid of that debt first? It must have added up almost $1,200 to the original total. Thank you for your advice and for your show. Yes, yes, and yes. You want to move that to the front of the list. Move it to the top for two major reasons. Because rates and the penalties for that, for the IRS, are crazy high, and you just can't keep up with them. So, and I think they do that on purpose for me to say, put that at the top. And secondly, they virtually have unlimited power to collect. So you definitely, when you owe the IRS something, you got to get them out of your life as fast as possible. But very, very great question, Lisa. Our next call comes in from Keller, Texas. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. Nate, how are you?
I am just fine. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. How can I serve you?
Hey, I was just calling to ask a question in regards to mortgage, paying off the mortgage. I know it's a big push in paying off the mortgage.
Yes.
I've been in a home approximately 10 years, had a 30-year mortgage for the first year, refinanced it for 15. I have approximately 6 years left to pay off the home. Talked to my tax preparer, and as I'm getting closer to my kids leaving the house, his big thing was, do not pay off the house because, you know, financial, the government will hit you big time. So I thought about it. I kind of did a little research on it. So what I decided to do was I did a refinance of from the 6 years to a 30-year mortgage, bringing in an additional $1,200 a month back into my home. Now, I'm just asking the question, you know, from your experience, is that the right thing to do? I mean, at the end of the day, it went from a 3.5% interest rate to a 3.9%. And at the end of the day, I could still continue to pay the additional amount I was paying under the 15-year mortgage. But I'm just basically trying to obtain to get debt-free before my daughter leaves high school in 2 years.
Yeah, Nate, you're making me cry. here's what you need to do. You need to walk into your CPA's office and with a smile and with respect, you need to fire him.
Okay.
Because your CPA cannot do math. Here's the deal.
Okay.
Here's what he's talking about. When you pay interest towards a house, you get a deduction.
Yes, I do.
But did you know that that deduction that he's telling you about, that he's so excited about, is only about 25% of what you pay in interest? So why would you want to pay 10 grand a year in interest, just for round numbers, and only get a $2,500 deduction?
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So what's going to happen is you pay $10,000 in interest. So what does that mean? That means that you report $10,000 less in income. And let's say you're in the 25% bracket. That means you're not paying 25% tax on 10 grand. So what does that save you? It saves you $2,500. So he's asking you to pay 10 grand in interest so that you can save $2,500, which is absolutely crazy. You've got the right motives and you are winning with finances and you are, you know, you're going to pay off this house. When you pay off the house, yes, you're going to pay $2,500 more a year in taxes.
Okay.
But you're not going to be paying 10 grand a year in interest. So you're going to be $7,500 ahead. So you were on the right track.
Gotcha.
And he gave you some bad math. And there's nothing against the guy.
Okay.
But that was very bad advice. Well, folks, that's why I'm so passionate about our ELPs, because we have filtered them for you. This very well could be a very good guy that just somehow lost sight of good mathematics. And that's why we're passionate about our ELPs. That's why you hear me talk about it all the time, because I hear calls like that all the time on the air and off the air of people who are being steered in the wrong direction. Remember, interest paid is a penalty. Interest received is a reward. Well, folks, I remember it like it was yesterday. You know, after the recession hit and some bad real estate investments destroyed Holly and I's emergency fund, we had to start rebuilding our finances all the way from scratch. And that meant coming up with some cash and fast. It was a rough time for our family, but God sustained us and blessed our efforts. And we're on the other side now. We've actually grown closer as a couple because of it all. And maybe you're there now. Maybe you're worried about an emergency that you couldn't pay for. Maybe you're in debt, wanting to invest for retirement, trying to send your kids to college all at the same time. Well, if you are, I am proof that it is possible to claw your way out. Like Holly and I did, the first step to taking control of your money is quickly establishing a starter emergency fund. I know that this can obviously seem very impossible when you're buried in debt, but sometimes it takes a little encouragement to accomplish something that seems impossible. So I want to give you that same opportunity that I had. I had tons of encouragement around me. You've heard me talk about Financial Peace University, the class that God used to change my life. If you go to stewardship.com and sign up to receive the newsletter, we will send you the first lesson of that class, the first lesson of Financial Peace University, the lesson all about saving up that emergency fund, that very first step, and all for free. We want to encourage you and guide you through this journey, because really, all this talk about money, well, it's not worshiping the provision, it's worshiping the provider by managing the provision for God's glory, not ours. So head over to stewardship.com and sign up for the newsletter to get that first lesson in your inbox and start saving right away.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown and True Stewardship.
Well, this next call comes in from Orlando, Florida. This is Lisa. Lisa, how are you?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
So I am on baby step two with my husband. I've been listening to the show for a few months now. And so I just want to know where to begin paying off the smaller debts, especially when I have a few medical bills that are currently in creditors. And so, they are kind of the smaller debt in comparison to my credit cards. So do I pay off the credit cards first, or do I tackle the medical bills that are in currently in creditors?
Okay. Lisa, what's your income?
Take home annually is about $48,000.
Okay.
And we're on one income right now.
Okay. And the debt amounts?
We have $6,000 in medical bills. There's about $25,000 in credit cards.
Okay.
And we also have student loans, about $120,000. We got a $3,900 tax refund, and I applied some of that to my mortgage, which is behind, about two payments behind. Mm-hmm. And so that allowed us to be, caught up for a little bit, but we're still two payments behind on that.
Okay. Well, Lisa, what I teach is the four walls. And what that means is your first priority that you want to make sure you take care of is shelter and utilities is like wall number one. And so that would be the mortgage payments. So you want to take care of that, your basic shelter, your basic utilities. It's another whole conversation. Is it too much house? That's another whole conversation later. But you got to, right now, you just need to know, you got to make sure that you get those payments up. Next is your basic transportation, okay? And then your basic clothing and your basic food. Those are your four walls. Once those are taken care of, then what you want to do is then work your debt snowball, smallest to largest, regardless of who's barking the loudest, regardless who's blowing up your phone, all those kind of things.
Well, my primary home is being rented out right now, and I'm renting from my parents. So we did downsize, and that rent income does cover for the mortgage.
Okay.
And so what we're renting now is, you know, a few hundred dollars less than what we were to pay our mortgage. So we're saving a bit there.
Okay. Yeah. But I would make sure that you, you know, catch up those mortgage payments. That was your original question, was do we put the money towards our mortgage payments? And the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do that and then work smallest to largest after that. Are the collectors bothering you about some of your debts, like really bad?
No, it hasn't gotten to that point yet. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have some time there. And I am able to negotiate some sort of payment plan, but it obviously doesn't save me any money. It's not like it's shaving off half of what I owe them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I want you to do is, you know, do your best, you know, obviously when there's not enough income to pay for all the bills that are coming in this situation is one of those. You want to do your best, and this is for all of our listeners also, to live in the intersection of these two scriptures. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. So what I mean by that is you need to be open and honest and treat the whoever you owe money, treat them like you'd want to be treated. Okay, so you want to live at the intersection of that and Colossians 3:17. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And the reason why I want to share that verse is because you can only do what you can do. And so if you know that you're doing everything you can do as an act of worship to him, have faith that you're doing everything you can. And you're not going to be able to make every payment. If you do the order that I just told you, at the end of the day, you got to the end and you got to ask yourself, did I do everything I can in word or deed, do everything to the name of the Lord Jesus? And while I was doing that, did I give thanks to God the Father? So those are great parameters and guidelines for us when we're in these kind of situations. But we appreciate the call and definitely hope that you can get some, you know, hit and make some ground here with these are some significant debts, and we really are cheering you on. All right, folks, got an email here from Alan. Says, I'm on baby step 2 and currently giving 10% of my income to my church. My church has ceased funding for the local Young Life ministry to focus on other missions projects. This saddens me because there are youth in my community that need the Young Life program. Could I give 5% to my church and the other 5% to Young Life to fulfill my tithe? I want to do the right thing, but I'm torn. Thanks and God bless. Alan, thank you for the transparency there. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes. That means all 10%. That means the whole 10%. Tithe means 10%. Into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. And so that means the 10% needs to go to the church. If you want to give to Young Life, that needs to be an addition to 11%, 12%. If you start giving 1% or 2% to Young Life until you can do more than that, that sounds great. But obviously, don't be frustrated with your church. You know, that's their decision. They can change the funds wherever they feel led. It's their responsibility, not yours. But as far as you and being a steward, let's do that 10% to the local church or to the church, the body of Christ, non-designated. And then anything above that, you can start to designate, because that first 10% is really just about a first fruits offering to God with no strings attached and not designated. So, but very, very good question. Well, that's it for today, folks. Don't forget, head over to stewardship.com and enter the $20,000 rainy day giveaway. We're giving away $5,000 to one of you, but you have to sign up. So I don't know what you're saving for, but I do know that $5,000 will help you out. So just go to stewardship.com, click the link, submit your information, and you will be all entered. Well, as always, it has been an honor to spend some time with you today. Continue to send in those testimonies. So great to see what God is doing in your lives. We're honored to be a guide in your story. Remember, we know what God wants for your finances. We know what we at Ramsey Solutions want for your finances. So it's up to you. When you get that next win, hey, be proud of the fact that you stepped it up. You made the tough call. You showed the discipline. You walked out to that mailbox and you put the flag up. You clicked that pay button on the screen. You did it. Thank God for the discipline, but be proud that you exemplified what it looks like to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. And here at Ramsey Solutions, we are cheering you on. God bless.